The passage we'll be looking at this morning comes from the book of John, chapter 4. We'll be looking at verses 13 through 26. We'll be looking at even more of the chapter than that, but that's the main passage this morning. So if you would like to turn in your Bibles or on your Bible app, we'll also have the reading back here on the screen when we get to it. What would be said about a pastor if he hung out in a bar? Have you thought about that? Ever, if a pastor decided, I'm going to go hang out in the bar. I think Robin asked me the question when I was interviewing if we would have a Bible study in the bar, if I'd be okay with that. Yeah, they have awesome wings. I have been there, so. But yeah, so would they say that the pastor was a drunk, that he isn't a good representative of Christ? You know, why would he waste his time there? What is he thinking? Right? People might think that. But what if the purpose of him being there was to minister to the people that were there? You know? There might actually be someone that's called to minister to people that might frequent a bar. In the passage that we're looking at this morning, Jesus is ministering to somebody that wasn't worthy in the eyes of God. Not in the eyes of God, in the eyes of the world, wasn't deemed worthy. And so let's look now at John 4, starting in verse 13. It says this, Jesus said to her, everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks of the water that I will give him will never be thirsty again. The water that I will give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life. The woman said to him, Sir, give me this water so that I will not be thirsty or have to come here to draw water. And Jesus said to her, Go call your husband and come here. The woman answered him, I have no husband. And Jesus said to her, You are right in saying I have no husband, for you have had five husbands. And the one you now have is not your husband. What you have said is true. The woman said to him, Sir, I perceive that you are a prophet. Our fathers worshipped on this mountain, but you say that in Jerusalem is the place where people ought to worship. And Jesus said to her, Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem will you worship the Father. You worship what you do not know. We worship what we know, for salvation is from the Jews. But the hour is coming and is now here, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For the Father is seeking such people to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth. The woman said to him, I know that Messiah is coming, he who is called Christ. When he comes, he will tell us all things. And Jesus said to her, I who speak to you, am he. And this is the word of the Lord. Praise be to God. So I'm starting a sermon series on the I am statements in the book of John. And there are seven that are very well known. It's an 8-week series. So you're like, where did the eighth one come from? Well, it comes from this passage where Jesus says, I who speak to you am he. I am the Messiah that you were speaking of. I am the Christ that you were just testifying about. And so, as we look at this passage, we get to see Jesus in his own words telling the world that I am the one that God promised to send to bring salvation, to bring hope. So, as I was studying this, I came across an illustration in a sermon about knowing of someone versus actually knowing someone. There's a big difference there. And so this woman is testifying that she knows of a Messiah that's going to come, but she doesn't know who that is until he reveals it to her. So she knows that God is going to bring a Messiah, a Christ, but she has no clue who that is going to be. And Jesus, in his grace to her, reveals that he is that person. I am that person. So the backstory on this is that she's a Samaritan woman, right? So she's of this group of people that the world, or at least that area, that region, do not deem as worthy. And so she is not, in the eyes of this area of the world, a virtuous person. And then on top of that, she's an outcast among outcasts, right? Because she's an adulterer. So he brings that to light. He knows everything about her. Before she mentions anything about it, he knows what she has done, right? And so the story comes out that she is out in the middle of the day getting water from the well. Usually, in this time period, the time to get water from the well is in the morning, in the cool of the morning. And the ladies would go out together to the well, they would draw water, they would go back. And here she is, by herself, coming to draw water in the afternoon, in the heat of the day. And so, what is that about? Well, I'm sure she is carrying shame because of her lifestyle. So she didn't think she was even worthy to go with the other Samaritan women to the well. So here it is, a group of outcast people, and she is outcast of the outcast. And what does Jesus do? Well, he spends time with her and he talks to her. So a little bit more about who the Samaritans are. In exile, the Jewish people asked to send teachers back to the people that were left in Israel. So if you know anything about exile, and the exile in Babylon, basically what they did is they took the strongest and the smartest people from a culture and they brought them to try to change them and to make them into Babylonian citizens. And they left behind the dregs of society, basically. So the people that weren't worth taking off, they left them behind. And so the people that were taken off into exile asked that they would be able to send teachers back to the people left in Israel to teach them about God's word. But the teachers weren't effective. And so the people that were left behind became idol worshipers, and they married with idol worshipers from other tribes, from other peoples. And so the Samaritans were no longer seen as Jewish people, but as like intermarried, unworthy in their sight. And so, again, that's where the Samaritan people kind of went off the tracks, so to speak. And the disciples, understanding the Samaritans, reacted in a predictable way. Jesus went through Samaria. So if you understand the culture and you understand the hatred of these people, generally Jewish people would not go through the effort, go through the travel through Samaria. They would avoid it. They would go around it so that they didn't have to interact with these people. And Jesus is compelled. He says, I have to go through Samaria to go where I'm going. So he is going where most Jewish people would never go. And he stops at this well and he meets this woman, and his disciples see what is going on after he has shared who he is with her. They see what's going on. They walk up and they're saying, what in the world is this man doing? This guy that we follow is sitting at this well talking with this woman. She was a woman in a time where it wasn't good to be a woman either. He is taking time out of his day to spend time with a Samaritan woman? What in the world is going on here? Jesus is turning the world upside down. And the disciples didn't recognize that. Jesus, and this is the verse 27. It says, just then his disciples came back. They marveled that he was talking with a woman, but no one said, what do you seek, or why are you talking with her? And so she kind of understood what was going to happen, and so she decided that it's time to leave. And she left. But in verse 28 it says, so the woman left her water jar and went away into town and said to the people. So she left, but she left with good news. She left knowing who the Messiah, who the Christ was going to be. And so she was welled up with passion to go back and tell the people in her town what was going on. He knew everything about her. In verses 29 and 30 it says, come see a man who told me all that I ever did. Can this be the Christ? They went out from the town and were coming to him. So she went to tell them about who this guy is, and they came out to her. So here she is, this woman who would not interact with the other women in town. She's going back. All of a sudden, her shame is gone, and she goes and she speaks to everyone and telling them about this man that had come and talked to her, that had shown her grace, that knew everything about her and yet was able to talk with her and to share with her who he is. And Jesus took the moment that she was gone to educate his disciples. He said, already the one, in verses 36 through 38, already the one who reaps is receiving wages and gathering fruit for eternal life so that the sower and the reaper may rejoice together. For here the saying holds true, one sows and another reaps. I sent you to reap that for which you did not labor. Others have labored and you have entered into their labor. Jesus is the sower. He has sowed the truth. And his followers are the reapers. And he has sown the truth with this woman. And she has come to faith in him. They're already reaping the benefits, even though they don't understand it. They're reaping the benefits of seeing God's work change lives. The harvest is those that need to know the gospel. Jesus planted the seed, and one person has already come to know the truth in the Samaritan woman. And then look on in verse 39. It says, many Samaritans from the town believed in him because of the woman's testimony. He told me all that I ever did, and yet he forgave me. I find forgiveness, I find grace in him. He actually took the time to talk to me, even though he knew everything about me. In verses 41 and through and 42, it says, and many more believed because of his word. They said to the woman, it is no longer because of what you said that we believe, for we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this is indeed the Savior of the world. Others believed because they experienced him and sat down with him and spoke with him and spent time with him and came to understand from his teaching. And they begged him to stay. He said, stay with us. And so he stayed with them for 2 days. Right? This is not a place where he's supposed to be. Yet he decides, I'm going to stay for 2 days and I'm going to teach them and I'm going to let them know and experience who I am so that their faith will grow. And then they could be truth bearers. They could be the ones that go and they share the truth with others so that other people can come to know who I am through their testimony. Our testimony is a powerful thing. We all have a story. Everyone has a story of how we came to faith in Jesus Christ. It's very powerful if we're willing to use it to share it with other people so that they can come to know the God that we know. What strengthens my faith is my experience. I have seen God work in wonderful and magical ways in my life. I have seen him accomplish things that I could have never dreamed were possible. He does it because he loves me. He turned my life upside down. When I didn't think I was worthy, he spoke truth into my life. He knew me before I knew him. But when I finally understood who he was through my experience and how he loves me, I now know him. At first, I knew of him. Then he revealed himself to me, and now I know him. I know him well. He knows me even better than I know him. He may even know me better than I know myself. I also know him through his word, because his word teaches who he is. In the book of John, over and over again, he uses that word, I am, to, through his own words, describe to us who he is. So 7 more weeks, we will dig into his word and see who he says he is in Scripture. Verses 25 and 26 say, the woman said to him, I know that Messiah is coming, he who is called Christ. When he comes, he will tell us all things. And Jesus said to her, I who speak to you am he. I'm the one that you've been longing for and waiting for. That's me. He reveals to her that he is a gracious and loving Messiah in Christ. And once you begin to experience who he is, your doubt begins to dim. You know, I've loved this song since I heard it, but I'll share it with you. Turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full in his wonderful face, and when you know him, the things of the earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. The things of this world, the shiny things that we chase after in this world, they become less and less important when we truly start to understand the grace and love that was shown to us through Jesus Christ. And what did he do? He did something that we could not imagine anyone would want to endure in order to make us worthy. We're unworthy of his love and grace. Yet, though we were unworthy, he went to the cross to pay the ultimate price. He died, he shed his blood, he applied his blood to us so that we are washed clean. Our record is forgiven. We stand before God as sons and daughters, adopted through our faith in him. He teaches us a wonderful, matchless grace. We are worthy because he has made us worthy. And the woman at the well understood this. She was worthy of his time because he deemed her to be worthy. We're worthy as well. He calls us to go out and to reap a harvest. He calls us to tell the world about who he is, sharing our testimony. There is a ripe field out there waiting for us to reap. If we're willing to go out, share the truth, to share our testimony, to teach people about who he is, we are going to encounter people that will come to know him, and we will get to celebrate as we watch our family grow. We're literally a family here. Brothers and sisters through our faith in Jesus Christ. And when we go out and we share our testimony, people come to know him, our family grows, literally. Do y'all remember when you were like the woman at the well? When you were carrying around your shame, when you were unforgiven, or you felt like you were unforgiven, when you felt like you were unworthy? Do y'all remember that time before you knew Christ? Do you remember when you first experienced and understood grace and love that came through Christ? Do y'all remember that time when you finally came to faith, when you finally understood who he was and what he had done for you? This story points us to the idea that change in her life gave her the passion to put beside her shame, to put it behind her, and to go and share the truth of who he was with God's people. Do y'all remember that passion? Do y'all remember being welled up with passion to tell other people about who he is? Once you came to know his grace, there may be some who have never experienced that. who do not know Christ. And I would say you're not here. You're not here because you're unworthy. You're here because you are worthy. And God is speaking to you, and he wants you to respond and say, God, you are the Messiah. You are the Christ. You bring salvation to us through your love and your passion for us. And we and I, God, want to experience that. And for those of us who already know that but have that waning passion in our lives, it's a time to remind ourselves of the passion that comes when we know Christ so that we can go out with a new passion to share the truth of the gospel. It says she went immediately and shared the good news. Her testimony moved her to action. Do y'all remember when you were on fire to share the word? What's it going to take to stoke that fire again? When we do stoke the fire, when we do go out, people are going to ask the question, what are they thinking? Right? What in the world are they thinking? They are so peculiar. They're strange in the world. But guess what? We're in good company. We're in wonderful company. All the disciples in the scriptures, they were strange in the world. They were made strange because God changed them. God has changed us. But we're also in good company because our Savior, when he was speaking with the Samaritan woman, they were saying about him, what is he thinking? What is he thinking? She testified about the coming Messiah. And Jesus said, I who speak to you am he. He was thinking, I have the greatest message in the world. And I'm going to share it with whoever is willing to listen. And that's what he calls us to do. Amen.